memory don't serve me right. Yeah. When I feel discouraged and I feel so blue, thank God I know just what to do. I call on the Master who sent down his love and ask that I meet him in that home above.
When my heart is heavy, my spirit low, storms of life around me roam, I call on the Master who answers and gives me a key to a mansion up there. Close to the Master, I'm trying to live. Close to the one who loves and forgives.
Yeah.
Try to count them. There's too many.
just stay still blessed. Sometimes I try to count them. There's too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I just stay still
plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but he is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go,
stand still.
Wonder where he's been. Friend, there never was a moment that his arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now.
Stand still and let God move.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy.
mercy.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for salvation.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blessings.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for salvation.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Many times I get discouraged, wondering what I can do. Troubles seem to pile up on me with no answering view. Then a voice within me whispers, there is one who still cares. On your knees and call on Jesus, he will answer your prayer.
I don't want to live no more,
no more.
Supernal,
waiting for me. Lonely roads I have to travel, oftentimes all alone. Seems I have no earthly help, my friends and lovers are gone. Greater love is waiting for me at the end of this road. I've a place just waiting for me, and I'm ready to go.
I don't want to live no more,
no more, live no more,
without
live
Jesus.
No more without Jesus.
I don't want the heartaches, nor the woe, the
sin makes
following
me, following me.
I don't want to
live no more,
no more,
live no more without
live
Jesus.
No more without
Jesus.
I've a life eternal, in a home supernal, waiting for me,
waiting for me.
Absolute fact. That's good preaching, right? I'm proud of y'all. I really am. I'm not just trying to blow smoke up your instruments or whatever, but talented. These cards right here had a twofold purpose. And I bought two boxes of them because they're not just for me. When you go to the restaurant, if you got one, leave it on the table. If you, I don't know, if you got a job and you got a work room, if you think there's a place where some man might see it, let's just marinate them that Eddie's welcoming them. We want them to be here, and they want to be here. They just don't know it yet. That's fact. When I think about our church, I think about how that you got overly blessed, and I mean that in a good sense, that... And I think it probably goes back to your foundation and how you were founded and the way that you stayed, you know, for 50 years under a ministry that God blessed you with. And that don't happen all the time, you know, especially from the very start. You know, not only did you have Brother Kelly, but you started with Brother Kelly. And then you had him, God bless you, for 50 years. And so y'all have been overabundanced and God's blessing. And so now people just come out of the woodwork. They can sing. I don't know. I believe if you couldn't sing a lick when you joined Eddie Baptist Church, all of a sudden God starts working on your vocal cords. And so here's what I'm saying about Eddie. And I want y'all to listen while I, you know, because after a while, if you're not careful, you'll kind of, you know, you don't see what you see at first. But y'all are like a puppy with big paws. You know why a puppy gets big paws? Because he's going to be a bigger puppy than he looks, and his paws are going to have to be out there to support him. God has given you that in the Spirit. And so that's why these things right here, I bought two boxes because I knew September was coming. And if y'all vote me out, I'm sorry. But I vested a lot in these, and y'all just have to mark them, use them for Bible markers. But so when the treasurer gets that bill, he's going to wonder, we got two car loads of these. We want these to be used. And when I see that thing empty, I got a box back here, a box in a truck, and they make them every day over there if we need them to. And so let's get, I mean, there's something here. Let's don't just try to keep it for our own self, you know? And that's what we was talking about there's room. You've got much love here, and so there's room for others, and people need this, y'all. And so I'm scolding you now. Let's be God conscious that God has got plans for us, and it might surprise us if we just let him go, you know? So anyway, use them or lose them is all I know. Now, as we look at what we've been talking about in Romans, and boy, I just pray, you pray for me today. You know, we look through a glass darkly, and sometimes I think the preachers has got the most dark glasses or whatever. And so we need inspiration. We need unction because we don't know this stuff. He knows this stuff. And so if we can be in the Spirit and say, Lord, we want your word. We don't want Larry's word. He ain't got much to say. We want your word. And if he can take this old brain, and that's how it works. I'm telling you, if you knew what I was dealing with up here, y'all would wonder, you know, how I could even say, you know, God is good. I don't have a lot going for me in that area. But I seek his anointing. I want him to help the glass to get more seeable if he desires that. So as we look in the first half of Romans, there's 16 chapters in Romans, and the first seven are basically just showing us that, man, we're in a mess. We're not just sort of lost, we're completely lost. We are utterly undone. And that's the reason I don't want people to think that sometimes they're just good old folks and they don't really need saving. Hogwash. I don't care who you are. I don't care how pristine you are. I don't care what clubs you belong to or if you listen to Gloria Vanderbilt and How to Set a Table all your life. You are still filthy rags in the sight of God. Your righteousness is just horrible. And so God didn't die for us while we were good. It wasn't that he saw a bunch of good old boys and good old ladies and decided that he'd just go and spread a little mercy so those good folks could have it. There was none good. None. And so, you've heard the song, My Savior Reached Down. He had to come down. It wasn't something he did from afar. He took on the form of flesh and become one of us. And I've read just recently that sometimes we try to keep him separated from all that. But Christ says, you know, if you don't let me in the muck and the mud of the world, then I can't pull you out. So I want you to let me in. But I want you to understand that you are beyond self-redemption. You are not able to do this. You are so lost, you can't get there from here. I want people to understand that. And he does. And so in Romans, man, by the time we get through chapter 7, they're saying things like this. That which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. That's almost like double talk almost, but anybody that's been saved by the grace of God and knows the battle we have with the flesh and the outer man understands. And so then he says, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Have you ever just... I thought about going back and praying to God after he's done so much for you. And I can look back through the years and see it. And then sometimes I'll catch myself just seeming like I forgot it all. And I'm saying, Lord, why do you put up with me? Why do you care so much, you know? He knows that we're but flesh. And he knows that there's some things that ain't going. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But let's get down to this last. It's just desperate. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's how lost we are. That it's almost beyond the realm of possibility. And it would be impossible, except God took it on himself. He didn't leave this up to us. He didn't leave this up to creeds and codes and challenges. No. He came himself. He gave his life. And through that, then, God the Father was appeased. And he's not easy appeased with sin and unrighteousness and all that this world, we look at on the world now and it's just seething in it. And God is not pleased. But God hasn't ever been pleased with sin from the garden on. And so he needed that righteousness which is true and can't be denied. He needed that to be appeased. And so when the Father saw his Son on the cross, sinless, perfect, holy, dying in our place, taking the sin of the world upon himself, him having none himself, then God was appeased. God's wrath in that sense was satisfied, that there had been a life that had been so precious and so valuable that when that blood was shed, then it was enough to cover the sin of the entire world. God could say, whosoever will, let him come. And that meant everybody. Because the blood of Jesus Christ was that rich, that good, that pure. And so that's how we stand before God, righteous. It's not our righteousness. I don't want to belabor this point, but it's his righteousness. And so when we believe on him in faith, then God counts that for righteousness unto us. He imputes the righteousness of Christ on our life. And something like this happens that we read in 1 John chapter 3. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so a lot of times we want to give the devil more power than Christ, and we think somehow that we're so messed up that nothing could redeem us. But the devil, as bad as he is, his badness can't be compared with the goodness and the richness of Christ. And so it makes us more than conquerors. He don't just barely get us through. He stomps it. He annihilates it in our heart. And so it says this, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. That's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Somebody says, how is that possible? You know how that's possible, but we're going to talk about it today. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What you're looking at ain't going, okay? This flesh is going back to the dust of the earth and good riddance to it. But anyway, the thing that God does is when we're born again, then he seals our soul. He seals our seed. It's impregnable. And so when something comes at us, we don't go to the door. Christ goes to the door. He does not let it penetrate that ever again. It's done. It's settled. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are new. And you're walking in that, friend. And so it's not to get us, you know, proud, and we don't have nothing to be proud of except our God and our Savior. He did that. Undeserving we are, but he did it because he wanted us to have it from the foundations of the world. Man, I could just stop right there. Can we read that again? For whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. He seals it. Your faith in Christ, believing on Jesus to the saving of your soul, something happens. I may not get to go back like I thought I would, but we're going to go to Colossians for just a moment because here's some more good stuff. And this is what we got. And this is who we are. And so he says this in Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. So see, if you get saved, then not only do you get crucified with Christ, but you're resurrected with Christ. As a matter of fact, you're in Him now. You're not waiting. It's just like when you're lost. You're not waiting for, you know, to be condemned. You're waiting on execution and eternal death. Because you're condemned already if you fail to believe in the only begotten Son of God. That's why lostness is so scary. You're not waiting to be condemned. If you're lost, you already are. And you're one heartbeat out of eternal judgment. And so that's serious. But at the same time, when you hear the message, when you hear about Christ, and you believe the message, you believe that God sent His Son, you believe His Son had the power to lay His life down, He had the power to take it again, and He did that thing, then He can do it for you. And He does it for you. Now listen to this. This is some of my favorite scripture. I almost ought to be demanded at a funeral service for a Christian. If ye then be risen with Christ, that's the only premise. If you have been born again, I mean, if there's been a time, I don't care if it was in church, one of the singers last night, I think, told us he got saved in his bed. My wife got saved at home. Some of them do it in the fields. Back in the day, they used to people get saved out in the working field because they're still thinking about God out there and singing and whatnot. If you have been risen with Christ, it brings some stuff with it. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You change your situation. You change your affiliation. You even change citizenships. You're not a citizen here anymore once you're born again. That's the reason this is not our home. This is the reason it don't feel like home. And every day it feels more not home. Because it's not. Okay? We done changed allegiances, citizenship, everything. All right, let's go on now because I ain't never going to get to Romans. Then he says this. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's powerful. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. We're going to lose all of it. It's, you know, don't worry about your house. Don't worry about your income. Don't worry about your retirement. Don't worry about a lot of things. Because as a Christian, I mean, you know, it's just really not that important. It's really not that valuable. Because we're not going to take any of it with us. You know, we don't need it. I mean, it'd be like, I told you a story about my car when I had a car with a straight shift and I never did learn how to drive it, so I ground all the gears out of it. And I couldn't even start off in first gear because it wasn't there no more. I don't know where it went, but it went somewhere. And so I had to start in second gear, and then finally it was a mess, you know, and I wasn't that good a driver anyway. But anyway, one day I had a job and I thought I could make the car payments on. I went down and got me a new car. This was way back under 70 some odd early. And, man, that thing was under warranty for 12 months. You know, if something goes wrong, I just pull it back in there and let them fix it, and then hasta la vista, I'm gone. You know? Do you think when I got in that new car, I thought, boy, I better take one last look at that Plymouth, you know? No, I'm going to tell you something. I forgot that Plymouth way before I even drove it home. This thing was new. It smelled new. It was under warranty. It was something else. And I was something else in that car, man. It was yellow. And it was beautiful until Diane went on a stop sign and totaled it. But God kept her from getting totaled. And that's all that matters. But the point is, we don't have the garbage. You want to look back on junk? So that's what he's saying. He's saying, let's And then he says, set your affections on things above and not on things of earth. Let's get vesting in heaven. For listen to what this says, and this is really the sermon. I mean, if you can get this, then we go home. But we won't. But listen, for you're dead, D-E-A-D. So here's what happens: when you get saved, you die. Now, a lot of people don't get that, but you do, and you're going to be born of something different. You're going to be born again. And so he says this, for you are dead. Now notice what happens to your life when you die in Christ. And you die in Christ when you get saved. And you ought to just hang on to that. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, when your heart cries out to God for salvation, then God's been wanting you to have it since the foundation of the world. And I'm telling you, he flat lets you have it. And he don't give you partial salvation. He don't do anything that way. Christ, when he comes in you, he brings his whole self. You don't have to share him with anybody. Do you understand that? And then when somebody else gets saved, he is able, because he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, he treats us personally. We are his child. He loves you like you're the only one there is. You don't have to share that with anybody. Neither can you share it with anybody. You can tell them about it, but they won't get saved getting some of your overflow. They've got to meet him themselves and let him do this for them. And then he's their God, and they're his child. And man, what a relationship. But you have to die to get it, and you won't get it if you don't. So you don't come down to the altar like Lot's wife, and you say, boy, you know, Lord, I really need this salvation. I know I do. I don't want to burn in hell. But Lord, I've got some things that's not godly that I'm doing, I'm a part of. And right now in my life, it seems like I have to be a part of that. And so, Lord, I want you to know my intentions are good. And I will eventually someday maybe surrender all this. But Lord, would you take me like I am and not? No. Christ demands all of you, or he'll accept none of you. And the reason that is because he's going to give you all of himself, not part of himself. And so you have to die. You have to be willing to not look back on Sodom and wish you had that stuff. But what you see in your heart, what you feel in your being, God convinces you through his word and through the Holy Spirit that you don't really have anything. And there's nothing really to give up because you don't have anything. It's nothing. And so he wants you to be willing to die to yourself. And say, God, I come in holding back nothing. God, I've been a sinner for a long time. And I know that you know my sin, every one. There's a record of everything I've ever done wrong. And God, I surrender all of it. I don't want none of it. I want you. And when you come to that, you die. But what happens is you die to the old self. And then you're alive, you're crucified with Christ, you're resurrected with Christ, you are in Christ. You're in Christ while you're down here, if you're a child of God, and then when you shed this flesh, nothing on the spirit changes, you're in Christ then too. That's what I tried to tell my brother-in-law when he had cancer and he was dying, and I was telling everybody in the room that would listen, and I think he knew it, but he liked to hear it. You're not losing anything, but you're gaining everything. It's part of it. And so, for you are dead, and that's not enough for him. What God's going to do with that Godhead, with, you know, it's like the Spirit's in me, I'm in Christ, Christ in God, that's threefold. It's impregnable what you have. It is sealed. God keeps it in his power hand. Nothing's going to happen to that because God's overseeing it. You gave it to him. It's not yours anymore. It's his. And he's yours. We can sing that song, I'm his and he's mine. How about that? I'm in Christ. Christ in me. All right, I'm going to finish with when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That's where we get our life, in Christ. You die, this old self that was dying anyway and going to be judged forever. You forsake it. You turn your back on it. You don't turn your back on God and look to Sodom. You turn your back on Sodom and look to God. And boy, he knows when you do that. Then you are hid with Christ in God. He hides you in his grace. He hides you in his blood. He hides you in his mercy. No evil can find you. They wouldn't be able to do anything if they could, but God so saves you and so hides you and so places you in the Godhead that nothing, and that's what the end of chapter 8 is going to tell you, neither life nor death nor principalities, and we may get there next week, I don't know. But that's, he's starting to tell us in 8 what we've got, but the last part of this says then, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Why? Because you're in him already. Wherever he is where you are. That's where your treasure is. That's where your joy is. And you don't have to wait to get home, as that singer said last night, to enjoy the benefits of redemption. Now, as we turn back to Romans then, there's a therefore in there. And that's the reason I think I've talked about Romans one time before when I was just filling in, but you can't hardly read 7 and not read 8 some. So we may be hitting some of this again, but listen to what it says now. He cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And he goes ahead in the last bit of chapter 7. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And that's why you're going to need a new body. The body does not get salvation. This body don't get it, but your soul gets it, and it gets sealed, and it's hid in God, and ain't nothing going to get to it. It's permanent, okay? And so, verse 1, chapter 8. There's a big therefore coming based on all of what happened. There is therefore now, the moment you become saved, the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, condemnation is over. Over. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, and hath made us free from the law of sin and death. And so when you die out to sin, then you become alive through faith in Jesus Christ and remission and the repentance of your sin. Then you are alive in Christ, hid in God, secured, and all those wonderful things. But it's not just a little bit of security. Baptists get accused of this eternal security, and they want to, in their minds, think that we're talking about it's a license to sin, so that it's kind of a thing where we can just do what we want to and go to heaven. They miss one of the premises. God, when he seals your spirit, he changes your spirit's want to. Not, your body may still be tempted and all that, but man, your soul is from another country. So when they start singing, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind," then my spirit's saying, "Yeah, that's talking about me," you know. And so you identify with it. And that's the reason, like last night and today, whenever y'all are singing it, my spirit knows that I'm connected to something, and you are too, and we're a part of it, and it can't be broken, and God's holding it. And so we ought to be joyful. We ought to be happy. We ought to want everybody to have this, because it's so expensive. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's been nailed to the cross. There's that scriptures on that. I've got them marked, but I'm not going to have time to read them all. It's gone. And for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Our flesh makes the law weak, because we can't accomplish it. We can't do what it says. We can't do what it demands. And so, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Sin could do nothing. The devil could do nothing. Temptations could do nothing with Jesus Christ our Lord. Satan met his match and then some. Okay? And that's why he went after him so hard and so heavy. Is because he knew he was dying for more than just... He was dying for the sin of the world. And if you trusted Christ, it put Satan's... It made Satan's work null and void. And so, this is... It's wonderful that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. It's not gonna conform. It's poisoned. Snake bit, if you will. Serpent bit in the garden. Poison runs through the flesh, through the carnality. Not the Spirit, if you've been saved. And that's enough to go home and... But I'm winding down now, because we're going to save some of 8 maybe for later. But verse 11, 12, we'll try to pause somewhere in here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if you've got the Spirit of God in your soul, in your spirit, in your life, then it says, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. So now we get to the part where it's sown in weakness, raised in power. There is a metamorphosis that's going to take place. There's going to be a new body. And so we're a caterpillar now, but one day when God gets done with the metamorphosis of things, then butterfly. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. If you continue in the flesh without Christ, then you're already dead. But you're going to have to go through the second death, and no remedy for that. Because what you're doing then, and I'm trying real hard to get to a point where I think we're there, but is this. When you come to the end of yourself, and that don't have to be, then there has been that metamorphosis that has happened, and then it says, if the Spirit, well, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Born not of flesh, but of spirit. So that's why we're family. That's why there is intimacy with us that the world don't understand. Nor can they. Until they die and are born again. And so, that's why funerals really... We're sad, but it's about ourselves that we're sad. If we're a Christian, we really can't be sad for the death of a Christian, even if it's my mother, because I don't want to bring her back in this mess. And so we don't sorrow as others that don't have hope. Our sorrow is different. We're going to miss them in this life. We're going to miss them hugging us and all those things, but. He is no fool who gives up what he can't keep in order to receive something that can't be taken away. And that's the deal of God. And so today, let's bring it down to that. If you're lost, then you are utterly lost. There's not just a little bit of lost. I mean, you are lost. And you are a offense to God. And if you face him in judgment lost, then your presence is going to offend him, and you will be cast somewhere where that you won't be able to do that. I don't want anybody to do that. I don't want anybody. I think about my, when I get to moments like this, I think about like you, to think about my grandsons. He's not here today, so I can speak this freely, that as far as I know, he hasn't made a profession of faith. What I believe about him is that he hasn't come to the age to where he knows he's a sinner yet, but that's not my business. So my business is to try to keep presenting Christ and to keep, you know, sharing that with him and sharing him with your children and sharing him with your grandchildren and sharing him with whoever, whosoever will, because it's important to me he get this. But it's important to me you get this. And more importantly, it's important to God that you get it, because he gave his son so you could have it. There will be no excuse when you get there. If you don't accept Christ and all that God's done for you, then... So I wanted to get us a song today. And I'm trying to preach this because I've heard preachers preach it like this, you know, just like it was too good and I hope you don't get it. You know, no. None of us are good enough, but there is one who is. And he has the power, if you repent, if you trust in him, if you forsake the old man and you want to be born again, he has the power to do it for you and make it last forever and ever. So I want them to come with a song now, and I want us, I'm not trying to get save people try to get lost again. That's not the point of this. You can't. But if you're lost and you know it and you're trying to play some kind of a spiritual game or whatever, then quit that. It's dangerous. You know? And here's how you know. God lets you know. You know, he don't leave you in the dark about this. He lets you know. And so, wow, you know, the night I got saved, I knew I was lost. And I was scared of being lost, and I was broken and convicted and guilty and miserable because of what I'd done to God. Let's stand together.
Number 600.
If you've been saved, which is the greatest thing to ever happen to anybody, and God is leading you to this place to be a part of us, and we want you bad if God wants you here. So we're going to sing one of the verse, and if you've been saved by the grace of God and you feel that the Lord is leading you to come here, then we want to encourage you to do it while we sing one of the verse.
Thank you.
you, brother. Man, it's good to be in this church.